Welcome to the teaching ministry of Magnolias First. For more information, visit www.magnoliasfirst.org.
When I was a younger man, about 5 or 6 years ago now, not too long ago, I had the opportunity to go on a mission trip to China. And to be completely honest with you, I was terrified. I didn't even really want to go, and I kept making excuses with my team as to, hey, let's go somewhere else. I'd heard so many stories of Christ followers that were arrested for their faith, or even worse, they were murdered for their faith, and I was afraid. I operated out of fear and not in trust in God, and the reason that was the case is because I didn't have God's frame of reference. And luckily, God is a lot bigger than me, and I ended up going on this trip, and my faith grew like never before. God exploded in my mind how wonderful he is, how powerful he is, how much he could be trusted. And my spiritual growth grew like never before. And I am the man that I am today a lot because of this trip. Not because of anything I did, not because I was that good of a person, but because how powerful and how faithful God is. Now, I know for many of us in this room, going on a mission trip to China is probably not going to happen. But how many times in our everyday lives do we look out at our circumstances and we become overwhelmed and operate out of fear and not in trust in God? Today we're starting a new 3-week series entitled Frame of Reference. And I really have one goal for this entire series, and it's very simple. And it's this, that we would operate out of, we would develop and operate out of this idea that God is in control. That God is absolutely 100% in control of every area of our lives, especially in the areas of discouragement when things just don't make sense. When we look at our lives and we're just frustrated about what's going on, whether it be through people, the way they treat us at work, whether it be something in our lives that we continually ask God to take away and he just seemingly doesn't, we're discouraged. I pray that we would have God's frame of reference in our discouragement. We're going to talk about that more next week. And then the third week, we're going to talk about having God's frame of reference and how we deal and handle with our past. I know for a lot of us, just hearing the word our past just made you terrified. Because there's things back there that you don't want to be brought up. There are things that we don't want to talk about. You see, I want you to be selfish this morning. And I know that that's kind of counter what we do as Christ followers. But I really want you to be selfish. And it's because of this. That we internally have to have God's perspective that he is absolutely 100% in control of our lives. And that we are completely and totally trusting in him to do with it what we wish. And see, that's not something that someone else can do for you. That's not something that you can say, hey, listen to this sermon and I'm going to do this for you. It's something we have to do personally. So I want you to be selfish in this series. Because if we're really honest with ourselves, not here at church when everyone's around us, we're really honest with ourselves, a lot of us, we don't have this frame of reference. And we find ourselves going from event to event in life just merely getting by and controlling what we can control and kind of let the cards fall where they will. The truth is that we were never meant to live that way. We were meant to live with a 100% certainty that no matter what is currently going on in my life, whatever pain or struggle or heartache, whatever it is, we simply say, God, I don't understand, but I trust you. You are strong enough to take care of this situation. See, changing our frame of reference changes everything. Just imagine if you were going through life and every single day you held up a window in front of you and that was it, the window is at which the way you looked at the world. And just imagine that over time that window becomes dirty or blurry and you don't clean it. What's going to happen is eventually you're going to look out at the world and some things aren't going to be able to be made out. They're going to become unclear and you're going to make decisions based on what you see with your eyes. And at some point, you're going to make a wrong one. Just imagine you went home today, and today when you're sitting in your chair, someone just went and smeared stuff all over your windows as you were driving. And you didn't take a chance to clean it, and you just started driving. Eventually, you're going to have an accident. Why? Because you have the wrong perspective. Your frame of reference is cloudy. See, in contrast, seeing life through God's frame of reference, it changes everything. It changes the way that we see God because we look at God as someone that can be trusted. It changes the way that we see ourselves and the way that we see others. It definitely changes our discouragement. It makes the trials and troubles of this world have purpose. And it definitely changes the way that we view our past as something that's not to be hidden, but something that God wants to use for his glory. See, having the correct frame of reference, it changes the face of our pain and our failure. It makes the troubles and the trials that we go through on a daily basis, it makes them have purpose and meaning. And when we have purpose, that brings action. Say, God, I know that you have my back, so I'm going to step out in action in doing what I'm supposed to do. Which brings me to my big idea for the day, and it's this, is that God's perspective brings action. That when we look at the world the way that God does, when we have that perspective, we are empowered and have trust in God to step out and do what we're called to do as Christ followers and not operate out of fear. And I hope to unpack this idea over the next 3 weeks, but we have to get this right. We have to start with having God's perspective, because if we don't have that, it doesn't matter what we do in life. It doesn't matter what decisions we make if we're looking at everything the wrong way. Because without God's frame of reference, we will crack under the pressure of people's opinions and our circumstances. When we don't have God's frame of reference, we begin to listen to people and not God. We begin to operate out of fear of what's happening in our life and not trust in the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for this morning, and I pray that more than anything, for those that are in here, those that are in the Resonate service, those that are listening to this online, God, that we could all just stop and take a breath this morning. And we could be very, very honest with ourselves. And you would reveal areas of our life that we don't have your frame of reference. That you would reveal areas of our life that we're just trying to kind of take control from you. And then we begin to open up our hands and give those things to you. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would open our hearts, open our minds, open our ears, open our eyes to see your truth. We just love you so much and just pray these things in your son's name. So I want to jump right into our scripture this morning and tell a story about a people, that God's chosen people, the Israelites, of a time when they operated out of a fear and not in God's frame of reference. And I want to contrast them with a couple young men who did. But before I get there, we need to set the stage. You need to kind of give a little bit of backstory so this whole thing makes sense. When we pick up our story, God has already shown himself to be trusted over and over and over again. He has already rescued the Israelites out of Egypt, out of slavery, and he has promised them a land that was flowing with milk and honey. These same people that are in this story today were the same ones that heard Moses say, "Let my people go." They're the same ones that saw all of the plagues of Egypt, and they had seen their God to be faithful to rescue them from captivity. These same people were standing at the shores of the Red Sea with an army behind them and certain death in front of them. And they saw God part the Red Sea, and they were able to walk across it on dry land. These same people, every single night, had a pillar of fire that surrounded them to protect them in the desert, and a cloud of smoke to protect them during the day so that they could be saved from the sun. These same people had manna fall from heaven and water come up from the earth to nourish their needs. They had seen God be faithful and protect them and provide for them over and over and over again, even though they complained the entire time. So that's the backstory that gives us this so much meaning, what's about to happen in Numbers 13. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and open them up. There's also some Bibles underneath the seats in front of you. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, take that home with you. That's our gift to you. We're going to open up in verse 1, where the Israelites are just about to enter God's the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. This is what it says in verse 1. So the Lord now said to Moses, send out men to explore the land of Canaan, the land I'm giving the Israelites. Remember that, the land I am giving the Israelites. Send one leader from each of the 12 ancestral tribes. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He sent out 12 men, all tribal leaders of Israel, from their camp in the wilderness of Paran. If you want to read all the different names of who went from which tribe and things like that, feel free to do so, but we're going to jump down to verse 17. It says, Moses gave these men these instructions as he sent them out to explore the land. Go north through the Negev into the hill country. See what the land is like and find out whether the people living there are strong or weak, few or many. See what kind of land they live in. Is it good or bad? Do their towns have walls or are they unprotected like open camps? And is the soil fertile or poor? Are there many trees? Do your very best to bring back samples of the crops. See, Moses is doing something very, very intentional here. He's telling these spies to go and scope out the land. What is it like? Are there strong people there? Are there weak people there? What is the soil like? In reality, the question he's asking is, guys, I want you to go and explore the land and report back to me, is this the land that God has promised us? Is this the land flowing with milk and honey? See it with your own eyes and report back to us. So let's see in 23 kind of some of the crops that they find. When they came to the valley of Eshcol, they cut down a branch with a single cluster of grapes so large that it took two of them to carry it on a pole between them. They also brought back samples of pomegranates and figs. That place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes Israelite men cut down. Now, I don't know about you. I'm not a farmer. I've never made grapes before. But that seems pretty good. Like, grapes that big is a really, really good indication that the ground of which they grew up in was fertile. And if you didn't know this, the Israelite people, they completely survived off of the land. Like, they couldn't go to Walmart and grab some grapes. Like, they had to make it themselves. And so it was really, really good. It was really good. So let's continue to verse 25 and see what the report is. This is after exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit that they had taken from the land. This was their report. We entered the land you sent us and explored it, and indeed it is a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. So we have to stop right here because what these spies have just done is they have just proven without a doubt that God could be trusted. They had just proven without a doubt that God has brought them to the land that he had promised them. He had taken them out of slavery and this land was perfect. It had everything that they need. I can imagine them holding up the grapes like, look, this is what's in this land. And people are like, oh my gosh, those grapes are giant. But there was a problem. They saw the land flowing with milk and honey, but that's not what they focused on. They focused on the giants inhabited the land, and they were afraid. See, the first thing that they should have done is they should have praised God for all that they had seen him do. They should have praised God, thank you for being the one that is worthy of our praise and trust. You have brought us to the land, now let's go take it. That wasn't their response because they didn't have God's frame of reference. Let's continue in verse 28. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. After the 9 o'clock service, I had a gentleman come up to me and said, you know what the best thing about that, that not a lot of people talk about? They said that when the Israelite people entered in, they didn't only enter into land that was bountiful, but their homes were already made for them. And they all lived in king-size beds. I thought that was pretty funny. So the land, towns were large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites lived in the Negev. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites lived in the hill country. The Canaanites lived along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley. See, God had just proven himself that he could be trusted. But the problem was that these spies looked with their own eyes and they operated out of what they could control. like, well, these giants are so big, we can never hope to win in battle. We're just too small. We don't have enough. They're well fortified. We could never enter their cities. They operated out of fear and not in trust in God. Even though they had seen God perform many, many miracles, God had proven himself to be powerful. They should have been like, well, he parted the Red Sea. Surely he could take care of this giant. But that wasn't the case. They didn't have God's frame of reference. Which brings us to verse 30, and I love this young man, Caleb, that stands up. He has a different frame of reference. Let's look at this. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Look at this. Let's go at once and take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. See, Caleb had the right frame of reference. He had seen all that God had done already for the Israelite people. He had heard all of the stories of all the ancestors and all the times before he was born of how faithful God was. He knew that God could easily defeat these giants. He had the right perspective, and that right perspective brought immediate action. Let's go at once. We can do this. It didn't matter what he had seen with his eyes. It didn't matter how big the giants were, how well fortified their cities were. It didn't matter what the people that were with him said. Why? Because he knew that God had his back. And God would go before him and give them victory. Unfortunately, all the pleading that Caleb did with them didn't really make much of a difference. Let's pick back up in verse 31. But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. Look at this. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. See, the fact about that statement is that it was true. They were stronger than them. But see, Caleb had a different strength. His strength didn't rest in what he could control. His strength rested that God was the one that was in control. So they spread this bad report among the land, about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw there were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too. See, sometimes in life, we're going to be Caleb, and we're going to be the only one that stands up and trusts in God. And everyone around us is saying, no, it's too big, it's too hard, it doesn't make sense. You're crazy for trusting in God. But let me tell you something. That doesn't change who God is. And that doesn't change God's plan for your life. And next week, we're going to talk more about this idea of discouragement, because I'm sure that Caleb was discouraged. He's like, how could you see all that God has done and not trust him now? So make plans to be here if you want to know more about that, of how we operate when discouragement comes. But I want to end with this morning. I want to end today with showing us how we begin to develop that frame of reference, that proper frame of reference, that God's frame of reference. So turn with me quickly to Romans 8:28, because I believe there we'll find our answer. This is what it says. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. I love this verse. This is the frame of reference that we need as Christ followers. This is the perspective for which we should strive, that we look at our lives, and it doesn't matter what's going on, we know that everything that's happening to us is for a purpose. It's for our good. It's to grow us. It's to build our confidence and trust in the Lord. Because until we get this frame of reference, we will constantly be blown by the wind of our circumstances and what people say and do. So how do we develop this frame of reference? I believe it happens in two main ways, and that's kind of where we're going to end this morning. First, we believe what God says about us. Look at this. Changing our frame of reference starts with us believing that what God says about us is true. So it doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter what people do. It doesn't matter what's going on in my life, that we say to ourselves with conviction and belief that I am a child of God,
that God has a plan for my life. God has a plan for my pain, for my failure, for my disbelief. He has this under control. But see, the thing is that I would imagine a lot of us kind of believe that. But simply believing isn't enough. We must make the choice in the moment to act on that belief. Let me make this a little more clear for us this morning. Every single one of us, as we walked in this room today and you walked in at the Resonate service, you had a choice to make. You went down the aisle that you're sitting at and you looked at the chair you're about to sit in, and you had to internally believe that the chair you're about to sit in would hold you up. But that meant absolutely nothing until you actually sat down. That meant absolutely nothing until you put all of your weight in that chair and said, you know what, this chair is going to hold me up. And you sat down like, hey, it held me up. It is the exact same way with God. It is the exact same way with God, because all of the belief in the world, all of the scripture in the world, all of the church attendance in the world means absolutely nothing until in the moment when life gets hard, you say, God, you've got this. And we put all of our weight, all of our trust, all of our hope, and lean back in Him, knowing that He will hold us up. It's believing we're a child of God and then acting on that belief. It's believing that God has a plan for our life and then acting on that and say, God, I don't know what's going on, but you told me to go this direction, so I'm going to go this direction until you tell me to stop. We believe that God has a plan for our pain, and instead of hiding it, we show it to the world and say, God, this is what God has done with my life. Isn't God so amazing? It means nothing until we act on that belief. So I want to close with two next step challenges that I believe will help us kind of develop this God's frame of reference. The first, I want you all to do a perspective test. And what I mean by that is this week when life gets hard, when life gets hard, because it will, stop and discover where your eyes are really focused. See, so often in life, things are going 90 miles an hour, and we rarely stop and slow down and take a breath and kind of say, God, you've got this. In reality, what happens is life goes 90 miles an hour, so you know what, God, I don't know what's going on, but I can control this, so I'm going to control this. And we lose sight of God's perspective. We lose sight of God's frame of reference. We find ourselves looking at our feet, and we're like, okay, I can control. And we finally look up one day, like, where am I? That's where I'm supposed to be over there. That's God's perspective. That's God's frame of reference. And we find ourselves going into places we were never meant to go. So first, do a perspective test. When life gets hard, stop, take a breath, and say, God, I don't understand, but I trust you. And second, what I want you to do is I want you to pick one area of your life and make the choice to see it from God's frame of reference. And I say the word choice very strongly because that's what it is. We have to make the choice in the moment when things don't make sense, when things are hard, when everything is against us, we make the choice to see it from God's frame of reference. So what I want you to do is I want you to pick one area of your life and ask this question. Do I fully trust God in this area? Do I fully trust God with my finances? Do I fully trust God with my kids? Some of you in this room have kids that are students that are about to go off to college for the first time and you're terrified. Do you fully trust God in that area? I can't make the choice for you. But secondly to that, what would life look like if I did fully trust God? What would life look like if I fully trusted God to raise my kids and stopped operating out of anger and fear? It would change everything. It would change my parenting. It would change my job. It would change me going to work every day. I don't know what giants you guys are facing. I don't know what circumstances are going on in your life. I don't know the pain you're dealing with right now. But I do know this. God is big enough to take control of every single situation. God is strong enough to take care of it all. Do you believe that? Do you have that perspective? Are you putting all of your weight, all of your hope, and all of your trust in God? Are you falling back into Him just like you sat in that chair this morning and trusting Him to hold you up? Are you putting that faith, are you putting that belief into action? Do you have that perspective? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for today. I pray as we get ready to leave this place, God, I pray that more than anything, we would just stop for just a moment. Maybe before we get up, maybe when we get to our car, and just do an honest evaluation of our lives. And say, God, do I fully trust you? Do I fully trust you with my job, with my kids, my grandkids, my finances? What areas of my life, God, am I holding on to the control? My prayer is that we would just begin to release those things to you. Begin to give those things away. And that you would give us your frame of reference in every area of our lives. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.
Would you thank Pastor Jeff for a good encouragement this morning to see things in a new way from God's frame of reference? We hope you'll be back the next 2 weeks for the conclusion of this series and that it will change the way we look at our lives. Have a great week. Guests, stop by the hospitality room.